okay, I spend my whole day here trying to make this place beautiful and fruitful and feed people and invite all the critters of the world. I saved some baby mice the other day because I can't bear to kill them. Okay, that's enough for one person to focus on one thing. So it's hard.
Lindsay Langsdale helps to run the Reno Food Systems Farm on Mayberry Drive. The nonprofit operation has been in business since 2018. In today's show, we talk with Lindsay about her vision for the farm. For This Week in Reno News, I am Bob Conrad with ThisIsReno.com. Thank you for listening to this show on KWNK Community Radio on 97.7 FM. We are also on most all podcast players.
How about a quick walking tour?
I visited Reno Food Systems in the fall as the farm was still harvesting produce. Volunteers and staff were weeding and the farm was preparing for the winter.
Where are you?
Lindsay describes the purpose of the farm as being a vibrant, resilient, and just local food system cultivated by an empowered community. She gave me a tour of the farm and explained the operation.
All right.
I'm recording.
You're recording?
Yeah.
Testing. What is the story about?
You. No, the farm. We haven't done an update since Lost City Farm on what you're doing.
Oh.
So.
All right. Do you want to ask questions or do you want me to tell you what we're looking at?
How about both?
Okay.
What are we looking at?
What are we looking at? We're looking at our brand new hoop house that was added this spring. So we were able to grow our seedlings in there. I don't have the numbers, but we grew hundreds of vegetable seedlings for sale and to donate to the different community garden projects in town. And now we've got tomatoes in there. We are looking at our demonstration garden. So all these ones up front, we call the demo garden because it's kind of a sampling of everything that we have at the farm. So one of our missions is to help kind of inspire home gardeners and smaller scale gardens to grow a variety of different things. So
peach tree,
this little guy, we have so many different kinds. I don't have them memorized. This little guy is a peach.
It is peach.
Dwarf peach.
Okay.
So in the demo garden, we have a sampling of all the different fruit trees. We have a sampling of most of our different herbs, culinary and medicinal herbs.
Blackberries?
We've got a ton of blackberries. So this is eventually going to be a blackberry patch because they've spread so much. We have currants, we have all different kinds of mints up here, so it's a nice, if somebody doesn't have a time for a full tour, we can kind of walk them through here and just kind of give some ideas of what does a dwarf tree look like versus a standard. Once they're full grown, you can kind of see the different sizes of the trees, you can see how things progress throughout the season. That's part of the demo garden over there as well. So we have lots of different flowers and things over there. And then starting on this side, we have our annual fields.
What a view, by the way.
Really nice view, yeah.
Yeah, so we're facing south, and that would be, what part of the mountain range is that?
Good question, what it's called specifically. But Rose is just kind of around the corner, so it's, I don't know if it's an extension. But Hunter Creek is up that way.
Okay.
We get lovely sunsets.
Oh, incoming. Hi, buddy. Who are you?
That's Lefty. He's the farm manager.
Lefty is a small mixed dog.
We had a beautiful sunset view before that happened.
These are new structures?
These are new, yeah.
Okay.
It was a beautiful field before, but that's a story for another time.
Are you leasing the land?
We lease it from the county.
Oh, this is county property.
Mm-hmm. So the story of this property, it's about 30, 35 acres in total, which includes our 5 acres, this back pasture that's about 20 or so, and it's leased by a rancher. His cows are out there, probably the shade.
Is that where the cow skull came from? It's in your demo?
Not,
or is that a horse?
I don't know where that came from. That's a good question.
I'm joking.
It could have. I'm trying to remember. Just appeared. And then there's the little landscaped park on the corner. So all of that, it's about 30 acres, and it's the last of the Collin Ranch, which was like a 6,000 acre working ranch in this area before it was pieced apart and developed on. So the last owner of the ranch, her name was Betsy Collin Donnelly, and she gifted this property, so this 30 acres, to the county with a deed restriction that it couldn't be developed or sold. So they have pretty strict restrictions about what they can do with it. So it has to be used agriculturally or for open space. So they did the little park on the corner. It's called Betsy Collin Donnelly Park. And then this whole area here, they had leased to a rancher, Pete, for years. And he seasonally brought his cows. And then in 2017, we approached the county about leasing a portion of the park for Reno Food Systems. And this front part, the cows didn't use that much. The irrigation water didn't really make it this far, so it didn't have great pasture. So we talked with the rancher if he minded us shaving off some of his pasture zone, and he didn't seem to care. And then we went into a lease agreement with the county for this front 5 acres. And it's the best for us to have the roadside access also.
And is parking just right here on the road?
Mm-hmm. So we had an initial 5-year lease, which expired this spring of 2022. So I had to do a presentation to the county commissioners and the Parks Commission about renewing it. So they happily renewed it for another 5 years, which was very exciting for us.
Congratulations. What happened with the previous property over on Center?
So that was a private property, and
it still looks amazing, by the way. It looks like crap.
So nice. I'm glad we got kicked off so they could do something lovely with it. So that, we leased that in 2012. So at that point in time, that area of town, the property values were pretty low at the time, and there was zero development happening. Tony Ortega, my business partner at the time, we identified 10 properties. So this was 2012. We rode our bikes around downtown and midtown looking for a property that was a half acre or more vacant land with good public transportation, good access, and we found 10 properties that fit that. Today, there's only one of them left that's vacant. So the one we wanted the most was the one on Center Street, and that's the only response we got to our cold call letters was from the owners of that property. And they agreed to lease us that property for $1 a month. That's how low the property values were at the time. And they were just happy to have somebody on site because it was getting vandalized, even though it was just dirt. There was a lot of hypodermic needles there, people dumping furniture and things. So they even paid for the fence. They paid and put the fence in for us. And we had a 3-year lease, which they honored. They honored the 3-year lease, but it only took 3 years for property values to turn and gentrification to happen in that neighborhood. Partly due to us being there, did the mood in that neighborhood change. Like after we built the farm, then artists came in, did murals. The neighboring motel that had an empty pool full of trash, cleared the trash out, filled it with dirt, and planted a lawn on their pool, and it put a swing set and a barbecue, and all of a sudden there's kids around who had lived there the whole time, but never came out because there's no spot for them. So just us being there kind of improved the neighborhood. And then, so 3 years later, they didn't want to give us another lease because of the value changing.
But nothing's been done since.
So they had a big vision for a storage unit complex, which was the most heartbreaking part of it, that they would kill the farm to build a storage unit.
There's a lyric in there somewhere.
Could you do anything else? A liquor store, a strip club, anything besides a storage unit would feel better. And my argument was, like, with the farm, any person who comes either into the farm or even past it gets to benefit. Any human just sitting on a bus driving past gets to see something beautiful for a second and change their day in a positive way. A storage unit complex is the most despised piece of property, even for the people who use it. They hate going. Nobody likes going to a storage unit. People going past, oh, look at all that crap there. And that's what they wanted to do with it. But they never did. So I think at first they leased it to the city to store all of their roadwork equipment when they were doing the work on Virginia Street. So it had roadwork equipment on it for some years, and now they demoed the motel. So it seems like it has a plan for something huge.
It'll be lovely condos, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was a beautiful spot for a farm. The soil, surprisingly, was magnificent, because the only structure that had been on that before were these old Victorians. So it was like years ago, riverbed, and then it was ranch. There was sheep ranches, I believe, that were along the river. And then they pushed out the ranchers when they were doing downtown development. So these homes were built, but they were built so long ago they never put in concrete foundations or anything. It was like river rock foundations. So the soil was really undisturbed and grew really nice vegetables there. So I vowed to not do anything like that again, because it was too heartbreaking to have lost that place.
Okay, so you're here now and you have a lot more space. Mm-hmm. What are you doing with this property?
So this is a whole different project. We're a nonprofit, so we do a lot of our focus isn't selling the produce. And Lost City, we were a for-profit business, so different model for sure. But our biggest intention here is to show a good use for public land. So, and a good partnership with the county or with a municipality that has access to lots of open space that, depending on your opinion, may not always be using it for the highest good. And we tend to think that having open space that's supporting the land, the creatures on the land, the humans around, honoring the land how it once was, recognizing the original peoples of this land and the agrarian heritage of it, like honoring all the things that land can be beneficial for everybody. That's what we like to do. And we can show that with the partnership that we have here with the county.
Can we keep walking and you can keep explaining stuff? So what is this row of,
This is tomatillos.
Okay.
Right here. We probably grow too many. They're not the most popular thing, but they grow really well and they're fun to pick. So when volunteers come, it's usually the first place I'll send them, is out to pick the tomatillos. And then we've got cherry tomatoes. We've got mustard greens, kale, basil, cucumbers. And then over here we have leeks, arugula, onions, radish, kale, carrots, cabbage.
So pretty much everything. So you said you're not selling it?
We do sell it. That's not our main goal. So we probably donate about a third or more. Third to a half, I'd say, is what we donate, and then the rest of it we sell at our farm stand on Sundays. And we sell to the co-op once a week.
Is that the Great Basin Food Co-op? Mm-hmm.
And we have a few restaurant customers who buy occasionally when we have certain stuff that I know that they like. Like I know what Tali likes, so I save the mustard greens for them. It's the big thing that they like. We just recently started selling twice a month to the public house. He's kind of supporting us and doing kind of a, we can just kind of give him whatever we want and he gives us a set amount of money, so it's more like a donation, and then we give him fun stuff that his bartenders can make interesting cocktails with. Tomatoes, we've given him all kinds of peppers and random things you wouldn't think would be good in a cocktail, but they have fun inventing stuff. But mostly we sell at our farm stand here. And then we have had a mobile market program. This year it didn't go because our truck broke. But the idea for that is to, it's like a pop-up farmer's market in neighborhoods that don't already have a farmer's market. So we've gone to different locations with that, and we accept, at all of our sales location, we accept cash card, we accept EBT, we accept senior and WIC farmer's market coupons, and double bucks. So those are all different programs that people can apply for to get help to buy local produce.
And what's this going to be?
So this area got really weedy last year, so it's on timeout right now.
Is that to kill the weeds, mm-hmm. the barrier and the... Okay.
Yep, so the tarps kill the weeds. It also protects the topsoil. So we get pretty good winds in this field. And we've been working for now 5 years to build the topsoil. And if you leave it exposed without a covering or vegetation, the winds we have here will just blow our nice topsoil away. So the tarps protect that and then kill the weed seed bank, in theory. We still have a crazy weed problem, but better than...
The whole valley does, really,
yeah.
Don't you think? I mean, it's pretty weedy.
Yeah. And then we have that field back there that produces a ton of weeds, and they go to seed, and then they blow right on us. So no matter how much we put the tarps down, we'll get a new crop of weed seed. But this field, you would think it would be really great soil, because it's only ever been a field. The problem with it, it's been a pasture forever. So, like, imagine your lawn. There's, like, right under the end of your grass, you have that little layer of sod. So it's, like, the dead roots and all the debris. It's, like, a really thick layer of sod. We had that was a couple feet deep. So the first year, we pretty much planted in a sod layer. Like, it wasn't really dirt at that point. It was just these chunks of compacted grass. So it's taken years to break that up. You can still see, like, if you're out in a field, like, chunks of sod. So I can see it just right there. This is one of the newer plots. Just along the eggplants, you can see all those chunks of sod.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taken years to break that down. The tarps help kind of get that moist and break it down more. So that's helping to build our soil.
You don't spray?
We do not spray. We're not certified organic, but we grow organically. Here we have eggplants.
With the hoop house, what does your growing season look like?
It's our first season with it, so we're learning. It doesn't hold the heat as good as I want it to. And we're trying to problem solve, because I don't want to do a big propane heater. I just don't want to deal with that, propane. We don't have power here. We have a solar panel that you can't see it from here, it's behind the hoop house. The solar panel is our only power source, and it powers the fridge, different outlets, some fans, but attaching a heater to it is a little too much. So I've tried space heaters in the hoop house, and the solar panels can't take it because it's also going at night. So we don't have a great way to heat the hoop house, and I was hoping it would just hold heat a little bit better than it does. So we probably won't get too much season extension from it, at least this year, because we don't have a solve for that yet. But we were able to start a lot earlier with our seedlings. because you can do, we did some passive heat stuff in there. We had our seedlings and then frost cloth over them. They were protected from the wind at least. So we were able to get some, like a month jump start with the seedlings in there.
In addition to selling to customers, how else do you seek funding and how can people help you?
We do a lot of grants. We have a three-tier model. So we do grants, both foundation, local foundations. Those are my favorite ones to go for. And then we have a couple of state grants through the Department of Ag. And then we do donations. And from those, we have like individual donations, just anybody who comes through the farm stand, and they usually give us a couple bucks extra on their purchase. And then we do corporate sponsors. So Greater Nevada Credit Union is one of our big corporate sponsors. And Big Valley Mortgage is another one that did a pretty large corporate sponsor. And then we do memberships. So you can be a monthly reoccurring member, and that's just whatever you want to support with, $5 every month reoccurring or up from there. Those are most of our funding comes that way.
How many employees are you?
We are 2 full-time, and then we have 2 probably quarter time that work on admin events, our Garlic Fest, our different programming, and then we have, right now it's October, we have those 3-4 seasonal field employees that are part-time seasonal, and they'll work for about another month, and it's the most employees we've had yet in our 5 years.
Do you attribute that to increased volume, increased sales, increased... What do you attribute that to?
Increased grants, mostly. So it was the Community Foundation grant this year that paid for a lot of the employees. Every year they have a different focus. So this year it was kind of environment and education, and grants that have that focus are really good for us because that's mostly what we focus on. So we applied to pay for 2 underrepresented farmers for the season. So we had 2 female farmers that were hired with that money from the Community Foundation. And then we have another foundation grant, the Orchard House, and a lot of the money we get from them goes to hiring. So this year we had specific foundations that their focus matched our need, and our biggest need was to have some seasonal field crew.
Do you shut down for the season? Mm-hmm. And what happens then? What do you do for the winter?
So our water gets shut off as soon as it starts to get cold. And usually it could be this early. This year's not going to be. It'll probably be in early November this year. Water gets shut down. So then we pull everything. We pull the irrigation, and then we cover everything with the tarps. And that's a pretty big job. So this year we're looking for volunteer groups to help with that. And we've gotten some in over the whole 5 years we've been here. Patagonia has been really good with bringing volunteer crews. They'll bring a whole department of, not a whole, but part of a department, 15 or 20 employees for the day, and we can get kind of those big jobs done. And
here comes Lefty.
He's checking to see if we're doing our job.
Hi, buddy.
He makes rounds and checks in on people as we're out here.
As he should.
You look hot.
Hi, buddy. You want to say hi? Come here.
Let's give it.
Oh, how about you don't
at this
bite
point,
my
Lefty
recorder.
Tries to bite my recorder.
Like, I thought it looked like a little critter too.
Funny,
it looks like a little critter.
His face is almost identical to my dog, except my dog is just Snow White.
Oh yeah, we've seen his dog walk past the house. I'm sure you've barked at his dog.
What is your vision for the future? You laugh.
Well, I'll say what it was originally for us as a team was that this would just be the first. So that's why we call it Park Farm, because it's Park Farm at Betsy Colin Donnelly Park. And there could be a Park Farm at Rancho San Rafael. There could be a Park Farm at, what's that other one I'm thinking of? The county has a few of these properties that are old ranch properties that ranchers lease and that are just open fields. And it, each one of them could have a portion that's for growing food. So our original vision for the future was that this would just be the first one, and that we would either ourselves move on to a different property and build a new one at Rancho or at one of the other parks, or that we would have interns here that we would teach, and then they would move on and do such a thing at another property. I feel like that was maybe super ambitious, because this one's very hard, just the one is enough. So I'm not sure if that's still something we want to do ourselves, or if we want to try to inspire other people to do such a thing. I'm not sure, but it's hard when you're a big picture thinker to just be satisfied with the thing that you're doing currently. Like, a lot of times I feel bad when I'm not helping in other ways, like all the other problems we have in the world and in this town, and I'm like, I'm doing nothing to help. And it's like, okay, I spend my whole day here trying to make this place beautiful and fruitful and feed people and invite all the critters of the world. I saved some baby mice the other day because I can't bear to kill them. Okay, that's enough for one person to focus on one thing. So it's hard to feel complete with the work that you do, but I'd like to feel that here and think that this is enough. And that maybe it can just be inspiring for other people to do similar things. And whenever somebody comes with a question about gardening or farming or growing or anything, we're always happy to help with knowledge, with physical help on other projects, with sharing our seeds, with sharing our tools. And maybe if we keep doing that, there'll be another park farm somewhere else that somebody else can start, and we will be happy to help them as much as we can. We'd like to keep growing our seedlings to spread throughout town, so there can be really healthy, organically grown and adapted to our climate vegetable starts all over town, feeding people.
You said it seems like it's never enough, but that seems like quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what...
That's huge.
Yeah, I have to have people remind me about it. Because when you're in the midst of stuff, like, a lot of times you just see what hasn't been done. You see your to-do list, the things that haven't been crossed off. Like, just standing here, I see all the things that I want to do that I haven't. I see all the weeds. That bush has been sitting by that tire for a year, and I keep meaning to go grab it and put it in the compost pile. Like, those are the things that I see are the things that haven't been done that I want to do, versus all the things that have been done. And so it's nice to have people around who have a different perspective. Like, at the farm stand days, it's really nice to have a lot of people here looking around and pointing out the beautiful things that I miss every day because I'm too focused on what needs to be done still.
I think we forget that people, even though they don't always say it outwardly and directly to you, really do appreciate our work.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I need that reminder daily.
Yeah. It's true. I try to do it to other people because I can't do it to myself. So... it's getting easier though to let go of the little things that haven't been done, and just I like to be here.
That's it for this week in Reno News. Please visit us for all of your daily Reno news and events coverage at thisisreno.com. And if you like the podcast, give us a review on your favorite podcast player.